I'd like for us to look in the Bible tonight in Luke 14. Luke chapter 14. And we'll start reading at verse 25. I would like for us to keep in mind that the services that were conducted here last week by Scott DeGroff, that that message would not be forgotten. We had some get-togethers, and we put it on the prayer chain that the believers, the Christians here at Northgate, would take very seriously the ministry that was set before us. You know, I have had some thoughts today. If the Lord didn't have anything for us to do or to do with us after He saved us, He would have taken us home to be with Him 5 minutes after He saved us. I hope you get that picture. There's a reason why we are left here upon the face of the earth. We're here for a purpose. We represent God. As believers, we represent God. And for any believer to take that in just a casual way, I think this passage we're going to read, you'll see it bears it out. Sharply. And as we read it and as we think about what we have committed ourselves to when we become believers, I'm going to read a couple of other passages that remind us that we're not our own. We think we belong to ourselves. We don't. We belong to God. He purchased us in the slave market of sin at great price. And any of us that take that lightly, we ought to be ashamed of ourselves. I tell you, I was impressed with Scott. I don't know what you thought about him as a young man, 35, 36 years old. I'm impressed with that young man and what he purposes to do with his life. He purposes to live his life for the glory of God. And if what he hoped to achieve by what he brought in the way of ministry, if it happens in your life, in my life, we'll feel the same way. So let's read from Luke 14, beginning at verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life, also, he cannot be my disciples. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciples. Now we've said this in the past, and you know it's true. All disciples are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But not all believers are disciples. Something has happened. Somewhere along the way, it's not considered important that we give of ourselves to the Lord and serving Him. For which of you intending to build a tower, sit it not down first, and count it the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it. Lest perhaps after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or that king going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassy and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he is of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt hath lost its savor, with what shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill. But men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. I think there are a couple of passages that deserve being mentioned at least. The one is in Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the last two chapters of this chapter, it says, what know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I tell you, as we prayed about this while Scott was here, we purpose to make mention of this at every prayer meeting, that we kind of check up and take inventory of what we're doing with our lives during the course of every week of our lives. Of course, it should apply every day. What am I doing with my life? What am I doing with what God has entrusted me with? As I said, if it didn't have anything to do with us, we'd have been in heaven a long time ago. Might say he needs us. He needs us to perform a service for him. And it gives us the opportunity to answer a lot of the questions that the Lord raises. He says, if you really love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you really love me, you'll keep my commandments. You know, that'll strike home to the heart of anyone that has any conscience at all. Because most of us know sometimes that there are things in our lives that have little or no value at all as far as spiritual things are concerned. We are spirit, soul, and body. And I know that spiritual part of ours that God has redeemed with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ It is eternal. It has that note of finality upon it. It cannot change. Our sins are forgiven. All of our sins, the past, the present, and the future. We're just as good as already in heaven, seated in heavenly places in Christ. I know that. You know that. I hope you do. That cannot be changed. So there is opportunity provided in the Word of God. And Scott was bringing that out. He singled out so many people. And they found out, and they knew, that there was something else they could do that would be well-pleasing to the Lord. We don't hear much, and we don't talk too much about the judgment seat of Christ. But believe me, some of us are going to have to get our act cleaned up before we're accepted at the Lamb's time of having a great supper and a feast and a gathering of all the saints. I've often thought about that. How much cleaning up will there have to be? A bringing to mind of just how foolish I was in handling my life and what I did. Maybe looking at others. I have found out sometimes that people, if they feel like that they are comfortable with the way they live in their lives, and they're comfortable with those that they fellowship with, they don't have any idea, any thoughts of changing. I'm comfortable, I'm okay. I don't feel any peer pressure. We're all about the same. We accept each other on the basis of knowing that Christ lives in us, each one of us. We should respect each other just by virtue of knowing that Christ is in my fellow believers' heart, soul, and mind. He's there. We should respect that. He says, I want you to love one another the same way I loved you. Gave myself for you. So we're talking about responsibility of believers and trusting that everyone will desire to be a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if we have any more of Bill McDonald's books or not. I looked while Scott was here. I didn't see any. Gibby will know if we have any. But if you desire to know with some certainty about what this thing discipleship is all about, you get that book and you read it. I don't believe you'll be the same. I let one fellow, a friend of mine, have the one I had, and he read it. He said, I thought you liked me. He said, you have given me something to read that has exposed so much about my life. I said, brother, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. I'm not guilty. I read the book. It did the same thing to me. God used it to wake me up and to help me to want to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should all desire to be that. The multitudes were interested in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I am assuming that these are people that were believers in him. We know that many were like Rice Christians. They were following him, and they had a reason for following him. He was performing miracles. He could feed them. He could heal them. He could bless them like they'd never been blessed before. Sometimes it may be that I'm just looking for the benefits. I don't want to take any responsibility. I'm doing all I want to do. I'm saved. I'm safe. I'm secure. I'm happy when I'm with the Lord's people and enjoying all the things that we enjoy together. That's all I want. Leave me alone. Believe me. There are believers like that, and they'll tell you, you mind your own business. You take care of your life, and I'll take care of mine. That kind of attitude sometimes prevails among some of the Lord's people. They don't want you to tell them that they could do better. They could be more pleasing to the Lord. Don't tell me about it. I don't want to know about it. That does happen. You know, salvation is something that is free. It's a gift from God. It's a gift from God. I can tell you, not one of us had enough resources of any kind that we could ever measure up to what God would charge us for salvation. Because there's only one price that can be paid that satisfies Him, and that is the sacrifice that His only begotten Son made at Calvary. But I tell you what, once you are God's, believe me, according to the book, you are His. You are His. He owns you. And what you couldn't purchase, the salvation that He had that was free, it'll cost you everything in this world to be a true disciple of God's and the Lord Jesus Christ. What I'm talking to you about is something you seldom hear anything about. We're so cozy in what we're doing. We got a program. We're happy. And things are just breezing along. I think what Scott did, he stirred us up a little bit. You know? At least he stirred me and some others up. Gibby got on the prayer chain and he sent out a message. Be in prayer. That we will have our ears open and listening to what Scott is saying. This message that he's bringing to us. All important. And that's why I'm talking to you about it tonight. It is important. And it should not be taken casually. And we're not content to go on without change taking place in our lives. I'm willing, and you're willing, to get on our faces before the Lord. Get down on our knees before the Lord. You know, Scott, he and I talked about this. I wish, some way we had that we could get down on our knees and pray here in this chapel. In some places, in the old places that I've been and visited, the churches and places, they had at each pew, they had a place where you could kneel there right in your pew and pray on your knees. And you know, the old prayer rails that, maybe we ought to install one here. Have people come up and, if they want to pray and pour their hearts out to the Lord down on their faces, and get down on their knees and pray. I used to go to an assembly, and it's still in place. They had a wonderful prayer session there every Sunday night. And over the years, many had complained about, I've got bad knees. got arthritis in my knees. Hurts to get out on my knees. They went out and bought this foam rubber stuff and made mats. And man, you could put your knees down on those mats. It was soft. You could stay there for 30 minutes down on your knees praying. I sometimes don't feel like I prayed unless I got out on my knees. I know you can pray anywhere, anytime, with eyes wide open, hands up in the air, anyway, but I think maybe it's just the individual, but you have so many instances in Scripture. People spread themselves out on the ground. People fell on their faces before the Lord on their knees. It's a good attitude of heart to be thinking about these things. Scripture says, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? Well, what about Christians? Suppose you did go after the things of the world, and I mean you got them. You got them. In case you don't know, you ain't going to take them with you. You're not going to take them with you. All of those things that you focused on and thought were so important, you're not going to take them with you. You worked your little heart out. You tried to carve out a career for yourself in some area, and you just worked at it. You lived for it. You're not going to take it with you. All that money, all those stocks, and all that stuff that you've amassed, and it's made you feel secure and safe, and I can face whatever comes. You're not going to take it with you. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? What if a believer, a Christian with a Bible, and a meeting among God's people where he heard teaching like this on the Word of God, what if he focused all of his attention on just serving himself? He was a self-server. I take care of myself. You're confident. And you got to the judgment seat of Christ, and poof! Everything you thought was important, a lot of things that you thought you were doing for the glory of God, man, it disappeared. How would that be? I think there'd be tears in heaven. There'd be some weeping going on. I'm so thankful we're reading the book of Revelation that finally says he wipes away all of our tears. Some of us might be doing some weeping. It's worth thinking about. He calls to attention these two things that are mentioned about cost of discipleship, the man building the tower, the king that was about to meet one of his enemies, and they go have a battle. For some reason or another, they just didn't take it serious enough. A man that builds a building and doesn't sit down first and say, you know, I have a line of credit established over here at the bank, and I've got money to take care of building this house or this building or whatever it is. That's wise doing. That's what you ought to do. Instead of that, he starts out and he builds and he gets half through. 6 months later, somebody says, why don't you finish your house? Ain't got no money. That's foolishness. Well, anything you start doing for God and you haven't taken a good look at the Scriptures and what it's going to cost you, and say that ain't nothing. That is just nothing. I count anything and everything but just frivolous It's just garbage. That's what Paul called all of those credentials he had. A Jew, a Pharisee, the tribe of Benjamin, concerning the law, blameless, all these things. Nothing compared to knowing the Lord Jesus Christ in that pure sense that, Lord, I belong to you. You purchased me at a price. And I know it's sufficient because God says it's sufficient. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. I know that. Man, that ought to mean something to us. We ought to savor the sweetness of that. And say, man, that is good. That is so good to just sit and think about it. All of my foolishness, all of my sin, all of the things that I've done in the course of life that prove that I was living for the world, the flesh, and the devil, gone. It's all under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Get down to the bottom line here. It says salt is good. Christians are the salt of the earth. Salt is not an antiseptic. People that used to kill hogs and cure meat out in the country, they've all bought a big bag of salt in the fall of the year so they could cure that meat. You better put that meat, that salt on that meat pretty quick after you kill those animals. And it would preserve that meat and keep that meat. But let me tell you something. You wait too long and let corruption set in. You can put all the salt you want on it. No good. You've waited too long. Well, what about salt that a believer in the Lord Jesus is to have such a sanctifying effect wherever he's found? Wherever you work, you're different. Your saltiness. People know you're different. People know you belong to the Lord Jesus. And it seems like in this case here, it says, having lost its savor. You know, the church at Ephesus left their first love. Here, it lost its savor. You start playing around with this world, brother and sister in Christ, and it will rob you of your saltiness. People will laugh at you. He says he's a Christian. He's a yahoo. He's a nobody. He hasn't got any sense at all. Believers don't live that way. He should be salty. Instead of that, he has lost his saltiness. And what do people do with a man on a testimony like that? They laugh at him. He's a fool. All that he has. Forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Brother and sister, I don't know what you'll have to give up. I don't know what you'll have to do before the Lord, and I trust you'll do it before the Lord. You don't have to do it before me or anybody else in this room. But you need to get before the Lord. I'm talking to you point blank. Whatever it is in your life that's robbing you of your saltiness, whatever it is in your life that puts you in a category of not being a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, you ought to get it fixed. I ought to get it fixed. You listening? You got ears? You listening? If you don't do something about it, I'll tell you what James says. If you know to do that and you don't do it, it's a sin. You believe that? Of course you do. Let's take this seriously. Scott came to us, I believe, because God sent him here. And we got together and we prayed, and you heard on the prayer chain, and I'm praying tonight what little I've said is going to remind you of it, and we're going to be different. I'm going to be different. You're going to be different. We're at least going to take some time before the Lord and search our hearts and say, Lord, I've had some question about that in my life for a long time. Now I'm ready to give it up. If you want me to give it up, I give it up. I'm counting the cost. You could have taken me home a long time ago. But you've left each one of us here for a purpose. And I want God's will for my life, and you want God's will for your life. Our Father in heaven, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, may the power of the Spirit of God rest and abide upon each one of us in all of its fullness. Tonight, every believer in this room, and we'll be different. Lord, we're going to take inventory. And we're going to be different, Lord. We're going to be better prepared to meet you than we ever were before, Lord. To stand at the judgment seat of Christ. We'd like to hear, Lord, from the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ, well done, good and faithful servant. It's in His name we pray. Amen.